So this is the first of two planned in-person shiurim on Kosev, and without a doubt I will be recording something extra to go after the second one. The second one is scheduled for Monday at 11:30, and I know that time doesn't work for a lot of people, but that's the last day of the Zman. This is what we have. So for those who can make it, good. Otherwise, you will be neither. I'll send out the email with the link to it on Monday after it's completed and uploaded. We're primarily going to focus on Kosev, on writing, and there'll be a little bit on Mochek, on erasure, at the end of everything. So what I want to do for today is to divide up what I'm going to talk about into two units. The first unit, defining the act of writing, and then the second unit, defining what is called text. You could have legitimately done it the other way around, but I find it better and easier to work with certain elements of this if you work this way, starting with the act of writing and then continuing into what constitutes text. So the precedent for this malacha is traced back to the Mishkan. If you take a look at source Aleph on your sheets, you find the Mishnah giving us the classic example. Mishnah says, Hakosev shtei osios, one who writes two letters, bein mi mino, bein mi no, bein mi smola, whether with his right, whether with his left, bein mi shem echad, bein mi shtei shemos, whether it is one letter, I'm going to translate this as, whether it is the same letter twice, or whether it is two shemos, meaning two different letters, bein mi shtei samanios, or whether it is with two different inks, b'chol lashon, in any language, doesn't make a difference, chayav, he's liable. We're going to have to talk about many of the things that we just assumed in that sentence, but that's the one way to read the opening line. Amar Rabbi Yossi lo chivu shtei osios ela mishum roshem, and Rabbi Yossi says, as Rashi explains him in source base, that really the liability for writing two letters is because you are making two marks that have meaning. Shekach kosvin al karshei amishkan, because that's what they used to do for the boards in the Mishkan, leida ezo ben zugo, to know which one is paired with which. And there's this idea that the boards in the Mishkan are in very particular locations. Moridin and all that, you're not supposed to shift them in a way that could reduce the sanctity of one of the boards. So they have to stay where they are, so you make marks, and that way you know which one pairs up with which. It's like an IKEA Mishkan. That's the idea. It's part A goes into B, which goes into C, and it all works very nicely. So Rashi writes in Beis, Mishum Roshem, Simon shayu osim bekarshe hamishkan, a mark they would make on the boards in the Mishkan, mipneshim mefarkinoso, because you separate them. When they put it back together, this way they won't move them out of order. And Rabbi Yossi's point is that it's not just letters, but it's any meaningful symbol.
That's where chashivas comes from.
You'll see. But we will talk about that, God willing. Rashi reads Rabbi Yossi to say that these were in fact simanim in the Mishkan. They were marks in the Mishkan. It's interesting because if you were to look at Rashi and Ayin Gimel Amid Beis, the Mishnah there, I didn't bring it for you on the sheet, but in the Mishnah Ayin Gimel Amid Beis, which gives us the list of 39 malachas, and it's a Kosev Shtei Osios, Rashi there writes, V'kosev os bezu v'os bezu. They would write a letter on each board, instead of here where it's a siman. So you could answer, well, this is Rabbi Yossi, and that's the Rabbanan. And that would be one resolution to the problem. Alternatively, it's because the Mishnah there said, HaKosev Shtei Osios, one who writes two letters, and Rashi is Labdavka. He's being consistent with the language there. Others will say other things on Rashi. However, the Avnei Nezer says, actually, your precedent is not the boards in the Mishkan, which is very funny, because that's what everybody says. What do you mean? But if you're the Avnei Nezer, you don't have to agree. Take a look at Source Gimel. He says, Ube'emes Kashali, L'perush HaRambam b'Mishnayos Hanal. He says, I have a problem with the Rambam on our Mishnah. I gave you in brackets what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, Shuba Mishkan HaYikosvin HaKerush Rishon Aleph HaShini Beis HaShlishi Gimel. The Rambam says, there's a letter per board. Shaharei Eina Osios Nikroin Ke'achas Sheshnei Chatzai Rochav Kerush Mavsikin Bein Os Achas L'Sheni. He says, what do you mean? One of the requirements is that you write two letters and you be able to read them together. But the width of the board is going to separate them. They're not written as one word. There's a letter on a board here, and then you have half the width of the board before you get to the next letter. That's not two letters written side by side. The Od Kash, and he says, I'm further bothered. Bishlam alamashik asanu l'tana demasnis in shayi kosvinos achas kefula b'keresh zeh. He says, if you're going to take the view that says that they wrote one doubled letter on each board, aleph, aleph, beis, beis, whatever it is, and that's how you knew where they belong. In Cain calls man shalayu kosvich teosios lahayak siva moel klum. So you needed two letters, because if you only wrote one letter, it's ineffective. But according to the Rambam, it's just numbers. It's not a matching up of letters where I say I need a letter here and a letter here, and I know they go side by side. Aleph, aleph, oh, these go together. Right? According to the Rambam, it's just numbers. And I know this is board number one, number two, number three, number four, number five. That's the sequence. In that case, he says, in kibbutz nasa malacha. The malacha is done with one letter. You follow what the Rambam is saying? What the Adonizer is saying. He's saying, if you take the view that what you're doing is, you're writing that you're writing Aleph on this board, and Aleph on that board, and therefore you know they go together, then I understand why you need two letters. Right? That's the definition of writing, because two letters makes it significant. However, the Rambam isn't saying that. The Rambam is saying, I know they go in sequence. This is board Aleph, this is board Beis, this is board Gimel. I never read Aleph with Beis. That's not the point. The point is, this is the spot for board number one. Oh, that has a one on it.
Especially board one.
Correct. So in that case, I don't understand why you need two letters. And he goes on with his objection that he ends up...
Kefula for?
Right, he doesn't mean kefula on one board. That was my mistake. He means one letter is written twice. He doesn't mean on one board. Correct.
Even if it's aleph-aleph, but it's two boards, so separated by the boards, like a piece of paper.
Well, that's his, right, and that's his other problem. That was the previous problem that he mentioned. Correct. So, and he ends up with other objections as well, as you read through. But in your, he says, he says, the truth is, this view, according to this view, it's not coming from the pairing up of the boards. It was actually the recording of the accounts of the donations that people made to the Mishkan. That's what it was. Right? That's what they were doing. It's not from the krushim. It's not from the boards as well, at all. And then he continues to say at the end of that line, "Oh, the nelef mishmos hashvatim shaksufim b'choshen be'efod." The names of the shvatim are written on the choshen. They're written on the efod. That's where we have writing. It isn't the writing on the boards at all, which is very funny because no one ever says that.
You can say the sis kodesh l'Hashem on the shom. There's lots of
yeah, correct.
But anyways, this one, the cheshbon, only be a hechsher. It's not really in the goof of the mishkan. The cheshbon was just for the donations. It has nothing really to do with the actual.
Right, so he actually goes on with that. I didn't bring you the entire Avnei Nezer, but that he makes that point right after the part where I stopped. He says, even though the truth of the matter is that that's not part of the Iker building of the Mishkan, and he does note that point. You're correct.
That's right.
So that's just precedent for this in the Mishkan. One of the questions that you have to address when you start talking about Kosev is, what's the difference between Kosev and Soveya? Right? I have another malacha called Soveya, which is coloring. They're both use of ink on a material that can be ink. What's the difference between one and the other, and why should I care? So the Minchas Asher has a nice analysis of this. The Minchas Asher on Shabbos Pei Hei, as you see that I brought here in Dalet. Yes, I gave in and did a cut and paste one, even though I hate the cut and paste thing, but I was just out of time, so I did it. But don't look for more of this from me. I'd rather not have the source on there at all. The Minchas Asher comments on the Kehilas Yaakov. And the Kehilas Yaakov is in Shabbos Lamed Ches, and he says that what's the difference in Kosev and Soveya? Take a look at the first one in Dalet. V'ra'isi b'Kehilas Yaakov v'sach Shabbos im Lamed Ches sho'amad b'zeh v'kasav v'kasav davar nachal v'geder Kosev hu b'haksiva gufa. He says Kosev is the act of writing. It's the writing that you're doing. V'geder Soveya hu b'hadavar hanitzba. Soveya, the focus is on the item you are coloring. The kosev huasias hatsura. Kosev is making the form of a letter or the form, whatever it is. Haosias, picture, letter, whatever. V'tsoveya hu tsvias hadavar. Tsoveya is where you color the thing. The Minchas Asher of Asher Weiss does not like that idea. He says, first of all, then what if I make a picture on a wall, not to communicate anything, but to beautify the wall? Is that kosev, because I made a picture? We'll see that pictures count like letters. Or is it soveya, because I'm beautifying the wall? The Rambam calls it kosev. That's one problem he has. Another problem he has is a Gemara in Shabbat Tzadi Dalet on Tzadi Hei, which I brought you in source Hei. It's a good Gemara to be familiar with. These are forms of ornamentation. Godeles is to braid hair. Kocheles is to apply kachal, to apply dye, eyeshadow type of a dye. I had an Arabic professor who said that that kocheles comes from kachal, right? Kachal was an alcohol-based dye. Alcohol, al-kuchla is Arabic. So it's an alcohol-based dye. Kachal is an alcohol-based eyeshadow. The, I've since looked into ancient eyeshadows, and I don't think they were alcohol-based. But it would explain certain Gemaras on the medicinal. Yeah, Professor White, the medicinal uses of eyeshadow. But in any case, the point isn't that. The point is Kocheles is applying this eyeshadow, and then Pokesis is applying some kind of rouge. So the Gemara asks Mishumai Mechayv. Actually, it's not rouge. Sorry, it's something else. But that won't matter for our discussion right now. The Mishumai Mechayv. Why should one be liable on Shabbos? What are the malachos involved? So Amar Rabbi Avin, Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Godeles Mishum Oreges. He says, braiding hair, that's Oreg, it's like a weave. Kocheles Mishum Kosebes. The problem with being Kochel, with applying eyeshadow, is writing. And then Pokesis is spinning thread, but that's a different discussion. So, Omer Rabbanan Kameh Rabbi Avo, the Chiderach Ariga Bekach, Chiderach Ksiva Bekach, Chiderach Tzviya Bekach. That's not the way you write. Applying eyeshadow is not the manner of writing. Ella, Amar Rabbi Avo said no. Lididi Mifresh Levi Neid Rabbi Yosi Ben Chanina. What Rabbi Yosi Ben Chanina told me was Kocheles Mishum Tzovas. That Kocheles is actually Tzoveya. It's an act of dying. However, when the Rambam records this, when I didn't bring you the Rambam here, but when the Rambam records this, the Rambam has a flipped edition in the Gemara. And the Rambam's view is that Kocheles is actually Kosev. What we have as our Havamina. But if you're going to tell me that writing is about making a meaningful image, and Silveya is about coloring in an item, the item being colored is what you want in the end, then I don't understand why Kocheles should be Kosev. So the Hilas Yaakov himself notes this, and he has a second idea, which you see as the source on the other side in Dalet, the top row of Minchas Asher. Ve'isi, Shakilas Yaakov ba'atzmo heyer bazeh. Vishuv Ratzalomer, did Silveya Hukisha wrote Seva Yikalait Badavar. Silveya is when you want the color to be absorbed in the item. Uksivahu al Hadavar. And Ksiva, writing is on the surface. Writing is on the surface, Silveya is in the surface. To get her Tzviya Hukisha wrote Shanos Tziv Oshal Hadavar. Tzviya is I want to change the color of the item. Dainusha etzem Hadavar, yiya tzivokach. That's what he wants to say. V'lachin b'kocheles, so when it comes to the eyeshadow, devadai ein kavanasa sheyachshu shezet tzeva ha'ayin, she doesn't want people to think her skin is actually blue, right? It wants to be on the surface. Eino tzoveya ela kosev, that would be why it would be kosev. Jerry?
Is it much more simple than this?
Maybe.
Ksiva is communication.
Yes.
Ksiva or tzeva is not communication.
So hang in just a little bit longer. Okay, just a little bit longer, because that's the ritva, that's the Ran's idea, is that it is indeed that is that. Yeah.
How does Malachas Machshavas come into play here? Because I mean that's a huge thing when it comes to Shabbos, right?
Yes.
So you need Malachas Machshavas. So what was his intent here? Like,
what do you mean?
I'm saying, was it Soveya, Ksiva? What is? But I need to define what Malachas Machshavas.
Right, but I need to define what Soveya and Kosev are, in order to know how to classify his intent. In other words, his intent is to color this surface. Mm-hmm. Now what? I still need to know whether it's kosev or tzoveya.
What's the definition?
Right. So the Mechas Asher doesn't like this idea either. He points out that the Gemara talks about shechita and says that being shochet has a problem of tzoveya, because the shochet, as a butcher, wants the blood on the surface outside, you know, on the skin. Beside the cut, in order for people to see that there was a fresh shechita that took place. They see the fresh blood. So that's called soveya, but he doesn't want the blood absorbed. He wants the blood to be on the surface. He doesn't want to change the color of the skin. That's not what he's trying to do. And not only that, he says, what's the logic? Kosev is on, soveya is in. The whole thing is a very strange argument. So he gives you a third approach, which is his own approach, which I think fits very well with the Ran that I brought you in Vav. He says, the Mechas Asher writes, "Venira lefini is daiti the davar pashu uborer to get her kosev hukasher nosein tsura al gabe davar acher." He says, Kosev is when you make an image on top of something. He's not focusing on the on top of, really. V'geter tzoveya hu nesinas tzeva v'lo tzura. Tzoveya is when you want something to have a certain color. You don't care about making an image. D'chol ha'oseh tzura, anytime you make an image, avsha oseh yedei minei tzvaim, even if you use colors to do it, kevan de'ein mahus ha'asiya b'tzeva shu nosein, since the act is not about the color. El Bitsura. The point is not the color, the point is the letter, Shuose. Havi Kose, that's called writing. And where the essence of it is not in making the image. He's not making a new image at all. Elat Soveya Tsura Kayamis, he's coloring an existing thing. Or he's coloring as kol shada chadavra, the entire surface. That's clearly tzoveya. That's the way that he looks at it, and I think that fits the Ran in source vav on this kocheles discussion. The idea that kocheles is kosebes, he says Tosfo says it's mishum tzovas as the conclusion. Delo sheicha ksiva ela b'midi dehavi mitam roshem. He says ksiva means when you are making a mark. Shekein b'mishkan ha'yiroshven ala krushim ne'elamar al sidran, to put the boards in order. Helkach mishum tzovas. He says you have to assume that kocheles is tzovas. Kocheles cannot be ksiva. Ksiva is where you're making a mark that communicates some message, that has some inherent meaning. I think that's a straightforward read. I'm frankly surprised that this even required because Yaakov's two other approaches. I think that that's the way we take Siva in general, is some form of meaningful insignia.
So that's like either painting the wall, which would be Tzoveya, as opposed to graffiti.
Correct. Graffiti would be Kosev.
Yeah. That's also why a picture is Kosev and not Tzoveya then.
Why a picture is Kosev and not Tzoveya, correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And if I made a flag, right, and I painted the flag, but the flag itself has meaning, it's my national symbol, it's a semaphore, it's whatever, then it would be Kosev. It's not Tzoveya. Even though it looks like Tzoveya, I used a paintbrush, and I just, colored the whole field orange or whatever it is, doesn't matter. It's communicating a message. Then it's Kosev. It's not Tzoveya.
Should I have both?
So that's an interesting question. I think so. I think that it is theoretically possible. That it could be both, but I'm not really sure. I mean, I feel like it would need two separate actions in order to do it. Meaning, what if I drew a picture and then I colored it in? Well, then it's clearly Kosev and Tzoveya because I drew a picture, so that's not a good example.
No,
give me a case where you could have both.
You draw a symbol that is a form of communications or
yeah.
And it also is for the Tzoveya part, for the coloring part, in part. It's not Shaya.
That's two different actions, the coloring in.
As you're starting to draw the flag, you haven't made it yet, so you don't yet have Siva. You're just drawing colors.
But then it comes a different stage.
That could be
the same stage.
Becoming Siva.
What about your example? Your flag is just a big orange rectangle.
Yes.
So you color it a big orange rectangle. So wouldn't that be Tzoveya? You're dyeing the thing orange.
If I'm doing it to communicate a message, then it's Kosev. No?
Yeah.
I think so. I don't think so. The more I think about it, the more I think no.
It's modern art.
Not every form of communication is Siva, is it?
I mean, what do you mean? Jerry asks.
People might communicate like this or something. Is that
no, because there's an inherent element of matching what was done in the Mishkan. You're putting down, you're making some kind of an imprint, a lasting imprint, in fact, as we'll talk about, on a medium.
Incorrect.
So a scratch we'll talk about. Scratches we're going to talk about. We have to get there. It's going to be when we talk about what qualifies as text. That's one of the big questions is, what about a scratch, and what about a scratch that means something to you? One of the examples we'll see, I don't know if we'll get to it today, is if I have a book, and I notice that I'm reading the book on Shabbos, and I notice that there's a mistake, and I want to just make a mark, and then after Shabbos I'll go back and correct it or whatever, but right now I just want to make a mark to show that this is a mistake. So on the one hand, random person looking at it just sees a scratch. On the other hand, I know exactly what this is, so it communicates a message to me. So we'll talk about that. All right, let's go right there because there's so much to see. So non-standard acts of writing still carry liability. So writing left-handed right? We say, is it derabbanan? The Mishnah said, bemi mino, bemi solo, but the Gemara clarifies that that's not really true, right? I brought you in source number 7. Hakosev shteyosios, bemi mino, bemi smolo, two letters, one we have whether right or left, so the Gemara asks, I don't understand. I get it, why he's liable for writing righty, right? That's the way you write, but why is he liable for writing lefty? Ain't derech sivakach, that's not the way we write. The Amar Yirmiya ba'ater yad shanu, iter yad, we're talking about someone who's a lefty. So then they say, well, then why did you need to write it at all? That's his right hand, so to speak. The Elam Rabbi B'sholei B'shteyadav. You're right. The Mishnah is talking about somebody who's ambidextrous. So he's ambidextrous. He's liable for both. Otherwise, he is not. It's only Midei Rabbanan. The Mishnah Brura writes here in Source Ches, it isn't just about writing your lefty. Akose b'smolo la'achar yado, writing behind your hand. What does that mean? Da'inu b'gav yado sha'achas akumus b'esbosav ha'afach yado v'kasav. You grab the pen. I was going to get my pen. You grab the pen and you write this way, taking the cap off. But that's what you would be doing. That's kela'achar yad.
The cap on is definitely a shino.
With the cap on, it's with it. It is not only a shino, but okay. Or he says viraglo, writing with your toes, holding with your mouth. Marpeko, writing with one's elbow. Dr. Salmon makes beautiful paintings. With his mouth, he holds the paintbrush, but that's not.
That would be
the question. Can that become derech? Can that become derech? So we're not doing that right now as a discussion, but we'll see something that relates to it. Not sure if this week or next week.
So if the lefty writes with his left, it's only the rabbanan.
If a lefty writes with his left, it's deoraisa. If a lefty writes with his right, it's the rabbanan.
Okay, but that puts them off like this here, whether or not even a lefty would...
No. The lefty, smoldi day, came into kule alma. That's what we say. His left is like everybody else's right. So writing with his elbow, that counts also. I'm sorry, that's potter also. Misha ein derech siva v'kach. Umikol mako misura yeish. Afil baragla v'chi agamna. Misha Bruce says that's not carried away. It's still a derech. And then he writes, in the rest of the Mishnah Berurah there, he talks about Iter Shekasa Bimina, what we just saw in the Gemara, the left ear with his right hand, and so forth. The note, and this is just a general note about Shinui, we're not going to do a whole shiur on Shinui right now, but this applies even if your handwriting is clear, meaning it's still called La'achar Yad. What if I am able to write with my left hand? I'm not ambidextrous. I don't have that fine motor control. But I sat down and I wrote slowly and I actually made a decent letter. It's still only a derech. If I'm ambidextrous, no, that doesn't make you dextrous. The fact that you go slowly.
Who defines ambidextrous writing?
Right.
You bat lefty and write righty is a righty, I believe, halachically.
Right, and we talk about that generally where it's fill and it comes up as one of the definitions for sure.
Right, well, that's true anymore.
Yep.
Like you said, the writing would just pick up the main thing you did with precision. Nowadays, we mostly type.
Right.
And it's meaningless, therefore he looks rather
interesting.
What if you have the complete opposite? So my handwriting is, I'm a lefty. My handwriting is so bad, it's practically legible. So I could probably do it equally as bad or good with my right. I'm not ambidextrous.
No, so you look for other examples of fine motor control. That's what you would do. If a person is bad in handwriting just because they don't take the time, that's not the same thing as saying they have no motor control with that hand. Other examples of writing that I would not consider standard, source test, the Gemara in Shabbos talks about erasure that is actually writing. Tana, higia os achas chayav. If he edits a single letter, he is liable. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Hasha kasav os achas potter, higia os achas chayav. That makes no sense. You're telling me that if you edit a single letter, you're chayav, but if you actually wrote one letter, you'd be potter because it's two letters that you require in order to be chayav. So that doesn't make any sense. So Amar Rav Sheshes Hakam Nayaskinan Kigon Shenatlo Legam Shalches Vaso Shnei Zainin. The answer is, in case we have to come back to later, you erased the roof of the ches, leaving behind two zayins. So now you have two letters. So even though you didn't do an act of writing in the sense of taking a pen and forming a letter, nonetheless, that is actually called writing. Rabba Amar, go shenatlo letago shel dalet vaso reish. You erased the back part of the dalet, right? You left a curve there on top, and now it's a reish. That is considered writing as well.
What's the scroll would you give there?
Go say.
Even though it's mechika, the action.
No, because it's not. Because it's not really mochik. We have to get to the definition of mochik. We're not going to get to the definition of mochik probably even on the second shiur. That's going to end up being what I record after. But it's not mochik.
You really didn't write. You only caused the writing.
Right. So that's the chiddush here, is that this isn't called grama. This is called ksiva. It is an act of manipulating ink, leaving behind the letter. It is not called grama. Yeah.
Isn't this about mashlim?
Well, that's the other. That's the rest of the Gemara. It's talking about what if you wrote one letter, but there were existing things before it. Right.
Null is making
erasures,
but mashlim, is it not?
Not that one. No, I believe not. But you can go back and take a look in the Gemara. But it is within this sugya. Other item that people bring, I didn't actually bring it on the sheet, but the Aruch HaShavas mentions it. Rabbi Ribia mentions it. Is stamping. What if I have a rubber stamp and I dip it in ink and then I stamp it on the surface and I make that counts also as writing, and there it doesn't matter whether you use your left hand or your right hand, because it doesn't matter. We are equally dexterous in terms of stamping. Sorry?
How many oysios?
So shteyosios.
You still need
shteyosios, yes. Interestingly, kosev is also a problem if I take existing letters and I fix them to a surface. The Magen Avraham mentions this based on the Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin talks about this if a person takes letters and forms a get that way. So take a look at source Yud. Magen Avraham says, Mashma begin davchav, shim tochev osio shal kesef agabe beged. The indication of the Gemara in Gittin is that if you were to take silver letters and attach them to a piece of cloth, mikri ksav, that's called writing, ein sham, then kein efshar da'aser la'asos b'Shabbos, and therefore maybe you aren't allowed to do that on Shabbos, and in fact the Mishnah Berurah brings it, source Yud Aleph, osu l'chaver osio shal kesef l'parochas kayote bo, the letter fell off the curtain of the aron, you're not allowed to put it back. Duhu ke'ein kosev, he has the word ke'ein. It's like writing. And you also may not remove them. Do ke'ein mochek. It is like erasure because you cleared the surface. The Ramosha says not so fast.
Shouldn't the chiddush be the other way around? Because the way the Mishkan worked was pituchei chosom. No, it wasn't engraved, or was that?
Well, that's if you take that as your precedent and not the crushing. Everyone else besides the Abbe Nezer,
it wasn't Dio. It was what either they made a mark or it was.
Why not assume?
No, I'm asking. I don't know. So what was in the crushing? They took a pen or ink and
yeah, it's okay.
Oh, it wasn't engraved.
That's my understanding. Yeah.
Oh,
that's my understanding.
So in the Magen Avraham and Mishnah Berurah, if you take those two sources, then Scrabble would not be good.
So, well, that's one of the applications of this will be the Scrabble discussion. But if you take a look at Yud Beis, Rav Moshe is not so impressed with this Magen Avraham. Hey, stop it, that's my line. Hine, the Dvarim Mutter Lahamid numbers. Right? Because Rav Moshe could write how many volumes of Igros Moshe in Hebrew. But for some reason, the word misparit just added here between the slanted lines for those who don't know what numbers are. What made him decide that now he has to use numbers instead of writing misparit? I don't know.
What English?
Sorry?
He's talking about English.
Oh, that's why he said about English on the parochas.
Yeah.
Maybe. Actually, sorry, he's not talking about the parochas here. He's talking about page number indicators. When you want to put up the sign in shul telling everybody what page you're on. So he says, the question is, you have different pages. One has one digit, one has the next digit. So the concern is this writing, the chain list, or when you remove them, is that now mochik? Hanachon l'fiyani is daiti. Dim eino mechaber es haos. If you're not going to join the letters together, ela ha'amada be'alma, you just put them side by side. Ein bezech shum chashash. There is no concern. Da'af bechibur ki agavne ba'oz shel shakesef ha'parochas. Because even in the case of chibur, attaching it to the parochas, where the Magen Avraham told me sha'aser, eino din barur. That's not so clear cut. Ayin v'nishmas Adam, lamed zayin beis, shalachol ha-poskim la ha-biksav, kol ha-poskim amas Magen Avraham, but fine. Ularashi nami mistapik, ulai davka b'maseh rokeim, so v'shu kosev v'lo v'tchibas osios kasef. Rashi says maybe embroidery is, but that doesn't mean that attaching the silver to the backing is. Al kolpanim, he says in any case, look, the chibur osir ha-Magen Avraham. When it comes to joining them, the Magen Avraham says osir. Sorry, be strict. Rabba below chibur klal, but if they're not joined at all, mashma she'ein makom le, so there's no problem putting them on a surface. Demistaber shegarua milichnu b'mashkin she'ein miskaimin. He says this is even less than writing with liquid that will not endure. Shakol panim l'rega she'ein miskaimin. At least right now they are miskaimin hu bechibur. Right now they're joined. Aval hacha shalom mechubur klal, eino iyin ksiva klal. Leaving aside the mashkin discussion for when we talk about durable text, the position taken by Rav Moshe is that if you're going to put them into a display frame, you actually have a problem. That's like attaching the silver letters to the backing. But if they're not in a frame, if they hang free, or they're leaning, you know, leaning against the backing, but they're not in any sort of misgeret, it sounds like he does not have this issue.
But he says to the call of Boskin Lohavik Sav, but then he mentions the Chai Adam the Mishnah Berurah.
Well, no, that's a quote from the Nishmas Adam.
Oh.
The Nishmas Adam said the Chol HaPoskim L'Havik Sav. So that was his perspective. But Nishmas Adam knows about the Magen Avraham. That's why he needs to write what he writes. But that's another case of non-standard acts of writing. I would not have expected that to be Kosev. Guess what? It actually is. And then everybody's favorite. Developing film. Right? Normally invisible text now becomes visible. So the origin of this is a classic, is in fact a Yerushalmi, which talks about exposing invisible ink by applying additional chemicals. It's Yerushalmi and Shabbos Yud Beis Dalid regarding Gittin. We're going to see it quoted. I believe I have it quoted. Yeah, I have it quoted here in Yud Gimel. The question is that called Ksiva? Is it called Ksiva for get purposes? And is it called Ksiva for Shabbos purposes? So when it comes to Shabbos, some say that it's also Midirabbanan. Take a look at the Prima Gadim in Yud Gimel.
I assume that's a mistake of the name. That's the Prichadash.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Yeah, I have to admit I took this off of a sheet that I did a long time ago for a medical ethics chair on x-rays. But no, Rechizkiah de Silva is not the Prima Gadim. Thank you.
Yosef Ben Meir.
Ben Tolman, yeah. Okay. Va'osan akosim divrei seser b'niyar. There are people who write secrets on paper. Im chelev shenechlav. Is it chelev shenechlav or nisbashel? I think so. No, it's chelev shenechlav. It's milk. It is milk. With milk that has not been heated. The nivla b'niyar gets absorbed in the page. Ve'ein mishumau nikar. And you can't tell. When you look at the page, you can't read the writing. The milk gets absorbed in the material. Then brings a message to somebody else. No se no so etzel ha'esh. He puts it next to the fire. V'shalheves. U'mischamim. And then it gets heated up. V'nikar aksavahu. And then it is visible. And he says, see the Yerushalmi Shabbos Yud Beis Dalet. Im asakein b'shabbos yesh lomer d'chiyub chatas leka. Assuming there's no mevashalish. Right? Leave aside how hot your ink is getting. But aside from that, if you do it on Shabbos, he says, not a del raisa maybe, umikomako midrabanan osur. It's still a derabanan, the dummy lakosev, because it is like writing, and then he says, kol shkein if it's yatsa lettuce, bro, then you have a mavashal problem with the ink. But the position of the Prima Gadim is that it may be a derabanan because it is similar to writing, it's just not really writing. So the Har Tzvi, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, comments on this. He has a tshuva about erasing the Shem Hashem if it's currently invisible. But it could be brought forth. That's his discussion. So he explains why it's only a derabanan. He says, number one, writing by causing an image to show up is not the derech of writing. In other words, and this goes back to what I had said at U of T this morning, if you put wheat in a water-powered mill on Shabbos, the wheat will be ground up, but you did not do any grinding. Right? The wheat is going to be ground up. You didn't actually do any writing. And he makes the argument that that's not called. There's a whole back and forth discussion. I didn't bring it here on the sheet. There's a back and forth discussion about it and wind-aided winnowing as another example. But the Magen Avraham on that case of the water-powered mill. Did I bring the Magen Avraham here? Yeah, I did. Take a look at Tzoris Yedalad. He says, "Afilu nosein hayistral arechayim b'shabas leka chiyuv chatas ad sheyitchon b'rechayim shalyad." The de'oraisa is only if you do the work, meaning you operate the mill. If you add grain, but the mill is running on its own, that's only a derabanan. That's the idea, and yes, this will have ramifications for things like standing in front of the X-ray machine. The image is going to show up, but you didn't do any Maisik Shiva at all. That's not called Derech Yeshiva.
You're throwing a piece of meat in a boiling pot, you're saying that's not Bishul.
So the question is, Bishul, what about Bishul? So he goes through this discussion and he says, the difference is that by nature, both Bishul and Afia, you don't do anything. The definition of a malacha is you don't do anything. You introduce it to the heat, and then the heat does the work. Whereas the definition of the act of kosev is you do the writing, or tochen in the case of the mill. That's the distinction to be drawn.
So this is going back to the guy who writes the two letters with melt, and the other guy brings it out with the heat. So who has the chil? Or is it both of them? Or is it the last?
Did he do it on Shabbos? These are two different potential acts of malacha.
Both are necessary.
They're not both necessary. They're not both.
The guy didn't do it with the melt, and the guy with the heat wouldn't be able to bring it out.
Right, but they're not both necessary. But the way to look at it is, it's really two separate halachic questions. The halachic question regarding the person who develops the letters is the question of letters are already formed, and I am only making them visible. Am I chayav? Like developing the film. And that's what we just resolved as a derabbanan according to the Har Tzvi, the Prima Gadim. The separate question is, what if I write letters that are not currently visible? Is that called letters? And that's what we have to discuss when we get the text. That brings us to the whole durability discussion. It's a whole other piece to this. But I would really view them as two separate questions. We're not done with this question of developing invisible ink. The way I want to structure this is that when we get, after we're done with defining active writing, and after we're done defining what text is, I want to get to certain applications. I have a whole other section on food writing, the letters on the birthday cakes and all of those. And then I want to do some of the technology questions that come up. How if you're writing on a computer screen, digital x-rays versus x-rays on a plate, things like that. And that's where we're going to have to come back to this, because Ramosha is going to argue that Derech Siva changes over time.
I assume people argue with Ramosha on the numbers one, going back to
saying that. Oh, yeah. No. We're not done with the numbers one either. Don't worry. When we talk about joining issues...
I remember people arguing. And also, many shuls have it.
Well, we'll talk about where Ramosha. Ramosha comes from a Prisha that we have to talk about when we talk about another of the classic writing shilos, which is letters on the sides of books, right? The old Bayit Sidurim, right? The ones that have stamped on the side, Ezra's Nashim women's section, do not remove. So am I allowed to use those on Shabbos in Shul? So there we get into the discussion of whether they need to be joined in order to be a problem. It's a Rama. I mean, this is not a new phenomenon, writing on the sides of pages. The Rama talks about it, and it's long before him. But that's one reason why it's a derabanan. A second reason why it is derabanan is because it's called a shinui. When you do this, when you make the letters visible, that's aside from not derech siva, the Har Tzvi breaks it as a separate point that it's shinui. And then third, the original act was one of writing. Right? This is taking the view the original act was considered writing, and here it reappears, and you haven't done anything new in that regard, and therefore it shouldn't be called writing. That's actually a big
chiddush.
Right. That's actually a little bit of a chiddush in terms of some other items that we're not going to go into now, but if those of you remember when we talked about Korea, we talked about the question of a book that has pages that get stuck together. And if you separate them on Shabbos, is there any issue? One of the concerns that actually comes up is if the pages were stuck together, the letters were erased. They were erased by the page that was sitting on top of them, and now when you open it, theoretically, you're now kosev. But there's no interactive ksiva, and so that's part of the discussion there. Okay. Rav Moshe actually disagrees with all of this. And Rav Moshe's position, which I brought you here, so we are seeing it here. I thought I had only brought it in the end in the technology section, but it's actually in Tesvav. That's where it appears. He says, Bedvar kushas kvot harasarav mitzilum al yedei photographia. That's a legitimate use of transliteration. Shepasol uksivas stam. Right? It's no good for writing a Sefer Torah. Umikol makom hi vaday malacha b'shabbos. But it's definitely a malach on Shabbos. He says to me, "Hani akvot haras harav dehuk shelo zeklal." He says, "I don't know why you're bothering me with this question. What do you mean?" The b'Shabbos ha'hu inyan malacha b'shakol davar she'osem meleches haksiva u'b'chol ofen she'osem meleches haksiva harei he haksiva. If it looks like a duck, right? It quacks like a duck. It's a duck. You're doing the act of writing. He says, "Derei yatzim imasha asa she'ika osios k'suvim she'ratzalasos." As a result of your action, there are letters.
He's talking about photography or photocopying.
So he's actually talking about developing film. He's talking about developing film. It will apply for photocopying, though.
Yeah, because how do you photograph a Sefer Torah? I don't mean.
When he says, I mean, what does he mean there as for the Sefer Torah? Well, that is puzzle exceed. Stam would apply for that, yes. Projecting an image that way. I mean, silkscreen is a popular discussion today, but that's not quite what this is.
Okay, that's like photocopy.
But then he says, and this is the key point that I want you to see, Vu gam kiderech hamalacha. This is the way of doing the malacha. V'lachein v'adai chayev af in yisruhu bo mishum yisruh la'asas malacha siva. Even if Bahasra is under kosev, that's what you've done. Shreihu derech siva. Tekamet divarim nechtavim al yidei photographia v'rov asfram nidfasim kais Zayudeya photographia. Photo offset. Yeah, well, that's the application of it, yeah. Okay. Next question then. We've now defined a whole bunch of acts of writing that don't involve moving a pen on a surface. What about moving parts of letters close to each other? So, forming letters from scratch by moving particles together, take a look at the Aruch HaShabbos in Source Test Zion. He says, "Va'av l'fima she'evenu le'el ha'arach avgil me'agun or shlomo zalman orbach v'agun or Moshe Feinstein she'noktu she'kiruv chelkei tziyur she'enam ne'achazim zel azel lo havid begeder k'siva." Rav Moshe's position is that taking parts of letters and putting them together, if they're not in a frame, is not called kosev. They have to be in a frame. Mistaber, dahainu davka kishiyesh toar shel chelkei tziyur lechol achad me'achalakim achkodim kiruvam. That's only where, if you were to look at this, you would say, yeah, that looks like part of the letter. And this part looks like part of the letter as well. They already have that appearance, and all they're missing is being juxtaposed. So putting them side by side, that's not called kosev. Unless you join them. That's Rav Moshe, that's Rav Shlomo Zalman. But if they didn't look at all like letters, they were just lines. And then by putting them together, you have formed the letter, you form the picture. That is more prohibited. So if I take lines that are pre-written, and I put them side by side, your phone's going, Jerry. And I put them side by side so that they make an image. They make a letter, and it wasn't recognizable beforehand. That's called kosev. Mind you, the position of Rav Moshe, the position of Rav Shlomo Zalman, as he noted, generally is it's not unless they are gripped together. But he argues that they're not going to say that here. They're actually going to hold that it's a problem. And indeed, Rabbi Riviat, in Yud Zayin, I love the way he likes to bring you examples. Look at his example. Arranging separate particles or components, thereby forming an image or symbol, is kosev. Examples. Lining up breadcrumbs, Cheerios, etc. in vertical, I don't know how much they pay you for product placement, in vertical and horizontal lines to form the letter T. Or in a circle to form the letter O. In case anyone didn't know the alphabet and needed examples. But indeed, forming them from scratch by moving particles, he holds, is the problem.
So it's better to have, in other words, figure out alphabets on Shabbos because they're pre-existing.
Yes.
Rather than, okay.
Assuming you're doing it with the intent of forming the letter, that's the issue. Whereas if they were already identifiable as parts of letters, that's a different story. And it starts with the Gemara and Shabbos Kuvdal Amidbeis in Source Yud Ches. Amar Rabbi Ami, Kasav os achas b'tveria v'achas b'tzipori chayav. In the event that you wrote one letter in Tveria and one letter in Tzipori, you are chayav. But I don't have two letters close together. Ksivahi, it is called writing, Ela Shemachusar Kreva, all it needs is to be brought together. To which they ask, but the Mishnah says, Vatzan, Kasav al Shnei Kos Le'abayis, al Shnei Dapei Pinkas, Ve'negin Ze'im Ze'. We say that if you write a letter on one wall of the house over here, and one letter on the wall of the house over there, right? Then we say that's not called ksiva because you can't read them together. So his answer is hasa mechusar maisa dekreva. There it's missing an action to bring them close together, and I added in brackets yosem istam kreva. It isn't that we're missing the act of bringing them together; it's that we're missing something more than the act of bringing them together. If all I need to do, if I write a letter on a piece of paper here and I write a letter on a piece of paper there, all I need to do to join them is put the pieces side by side. That, he says, is called ksiva. That's the Tiberia Tsipori case. Whereas, if I write it on the wall here, and I write it on the wall over there, then I would actually break the piece out of the wall in order to do this. Now it's missing more than just kreva, it's missing maisa. Kreva? And therefore, to give the Tsipori Tiberia case a little more greater clarity, it's not that I'm chayiv if I wrote it on a wall in Tiberia. I wrote on a piece of paper in Tiberia, and I wrote another letter on a piece of paper in Tsipori, even though those pieces of paper are not currently side by side. If all it would take is put the papers together, then that is called kosev.
How about the Maisa Kriv? If you have, you can fill in with other letters. So you don't have to necessarily write.
But then it's missing actual writing.
Yeah,
is that right? I mean, then I'm for sure not telling. That's correct. But distance doesn't matter. So the question that comes up is that true only because you wrote one full letter here, one full letter there, therefore you're chayav and distance doesn't matter? What if you wrote a fragment of a letter here, I wrote half of a letter tough over here, and half of a letter tough over there, right? Now what? Not over here and over there on the walls. Not the walls. I wrote half of a letter top in Tsipori, half a letter top in Tiberia. Now what? So this is discussed in the Ramah, which is one of the most famous sources in this discussion of Kosev. The Ramah's tshuva on books with letters written on the sides of the pages. The Ramah is of the opinion that it will apply not just for whole letters, but also for partial letters. He says in Yates, Asher Sha'alta Yemeni Yemutr Liftoachol and Ol B'Shabbos Sefer HaKosev Alavi Bachutz Osios. He says, you asked me whether we could open or close books that have writing written on the sides of the pages. Kedera Shekosven Al Sfarmi Bachutz Shem HaSfarim. As they do, they write the names of it. It sounds like what they were actually doing here is not what we do. It sounds to me like what they were doing here was a substitute for a binding. In other words, I have on the side of my book, right, the back, right, the back of it, I have a piece of whatever material it is that they're using these days to bind the books, cardboard, and I can stamp that with the name of the book. They're not using bindings like that. They just join the pages together. And so on the backing, they're going to put the name of the book, and as you open and close it, that's going to open and close. Meaning it's not as though the book is well bound and it's going to open nicely like this and your binding is staying in place. Your pages are separating and coming together all the time. That, I think, is the way that their books are bound. I did not look at bookbinding in Poland in the 16th century to get a definitive answer on what they were doing. Sorry?
I think it's true.
Well, just look what he says. They're writing the Shem HaSefer. Why would you write the Shem HaSefer on the other side?
Because you could just have a blank. You could just have no writing on the outside. The name could be on the book itself.
Now, instead of like putting the bias name there, they put the actual name of the book.
Why
there.
Would
back
you do
blank?
And the back was blank. And your advantages?
They're on the cover.
No, but why did you just do it on the blank back that stays closed all the time then?
Probably harder to write on.
To me, it doesn't sound like this. I guess it could be, but I don't get that impression. In any case, he says, the concern is mochek and kosev. And so he answers it by saying, sorry.
The question is the same.
Yeah, the question is the same. It's just Matzius. So he says, Harei kamon, dekreva lo mikri mechuser maisa klal. So he quotes our Gemara, and he says, bringing parts of letters close to each other, or having them further from each other, is not called lacking in a deed of ksiva. In Cain, if so, who adin him? Hayu elu bezosios ksuvim kvar achas betzipori v'achas betiveria umekarvan yachad lav klum avet. He says, separating them, bringing them close together is not, bringing them close together is not kosev, and separating them apart is not called mochek. That's the way that he reads it.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, because it's not a malacha. It's a psig ratio of nothing. That's the way the Rama looks at it. He says distance does not affect the fragments of the letters. The Mamar Mordechai and the Avnei Nezer absolutely reject this extrapolation. Take a look at source Chaf. Ube'enai hadvarim timuhim, the Avnei Nezer says. This is shocking. D'mashahevi raya mehadla mechayev ala kiruv upela. The Rama's proof from our Gemara on Kuv Dalet is very surprising. D'gedolam izet tanan. I have a Mishnah that says, kasav os achas samuch leksav, pater. If I append a letter to existing text, I am exempt from liability. And Pirish Rashi, haya os achas ksuva ubaze bekasav os sheni. There was a letter already written, and I added a second one. So it's pater aval aser. Hine baze ein tam liftor, mishum dirak mechusar kreva, debazaya mechusar ksiva. The Avali gained pottery. He says, in that case, you're not just missing bringing it close. You don't have a second letter. And yet I say, Potter, Deloasa Elachati Malacha, because I only did half of the Malacha, Dikvar Haya Osachas, because there was one letter already there. Umucha, what that demonstrates is, putting a second letter next to a first one is not considered doing the whole malacha. The imkain, apply that to our case. If I had two letters already written, I brought them close together. That's why you're potter. Because you didn't do mitzvahs malacha. You didn't even do the mitzvahs malacha. You didn't do part of the malacha. You didn't write anything. There is no element of liability.
You formed a word. You formed the two-letter word. Why do you didn't do a malacha? That is what ksiva is. You've just accomplished what you wanted to do by writing.
But it's not true.
You didn't write. Why not? You don't have to actually write. By me bringing one from Zippori, one from Tiberia, Aleph and a Mem, I made him.
But no, he says we're potter, but he says the ptur is because you didn't actually write two letters.
I did write. That is what writing is. By accomplishing
no.
what I wanted
it's
to write.
It's not. The letters are already there on paper from before Shabbos. That's not writing. I may have made a word, but I didn't write anything.
I didn't make a form.
Yeah, I didn't make a word at all. I made a word in the sense
I'm writing before. You don't need to actually do it right now.
So that's what we have to come back to.
Yeah, like it's not stemming something here.
Yes. So the Avnei Nezer's position, the Mamar Mordechai's position is that's not what we're doing here. He says the fragments of letters are different from whole letters. Joining parts of letters or separating parts of letters is indeed a problem of kosev or mochik. And Rabbi Ribiad and others paskin like the Mamar Mordechai and the Avnei Nezer. So common applications of this. Aligning two parts of a torn page to read the words, right, when the fragments are juxtaposed. So the Aruch HaShabbos writes, I brought you the Rabbi Ribiad on here, but let's just give you the Aruch HaShabbos first. The Aruch HaShabbos writes that it is mutter according to the Ramah, unless you intend to do this in order to read the letters. If your goal is to read the letters, then he says that maybe that is a problem. And that's what you see in Rabbi Ribiad in number Chaval. If one should not fit and hold together the two sides of a torn page for the purpose of combining the broken letters to make them legible. If that's your goal, don't do this. When you have, again, this is not about whole letters. This is about fragments of letters. Rav Moshe's position is less clear. Rav Moshe is in Chav Kibbel.
This doesn't matter if it's a kiyum or not. I mean, you can put it and you can separate it like
yeah, it doesn't seem to matter.
You're not putting a piece of tape.
Hang on there. So Rav Moshe in Yeridaya Beis Ayin Hay says if it's done in order to read it, it is prohibited, assuming the partial letters were really not legible. If the partial letters were really not legible, and your goal is to read it, then he doesn't want you doing it. The Aruch HaShabbos is very surprised. Because Rav Moshe has the tshuva that we saw above, who said this is not ksiva. Did we see that yet? I don't know if we saw it yet. But Rav Moshe takes the position that this is not ksiva, and in the part that I brought you here, in Chav Gimel, Rav Moshe dealt with a shul that had a paroches, in which there was writing across the paroches, and it opened in the middle. And so what am I doing now? And it's not just that, but the letter itself was split. It said, "Ani avir kol tuvi al panecha," and "avir," the ayin was actually split between the two parts of the paroches. So Rav Moshe's stance on this, The Ramosha's position was, yeah, it's likely mutter, but yesh ulai chash katan. And so therefore, lechatchila, you should have it partially opened before Shabbos. But he says lechatchila, I mean, that's lechatchila, but he says, really, this isn't really called writing b'diyev, it's a shachu, ein lachush. I have no concern, b'diyev, it's only a lechatchila, he says. By the way, his end note that I brought you here is that this is all wrong, because your parochah should not open in the middle. He says that shino yimina yisrael, the parochas is not supposed to split in the middle, and you should just know that. Which makes sense, because that's modeled on the Mishkan. Right, the Mishkan didn't, and it doesn't open in the middle.
Back to a brilliant case of the torn page and just holding it together, but there's no permanence there, so wouldn't that also factor?
The torn page?
Yes, if I took a piece of scotch tape, then it's permanent, right?
Yeah.
But if I just.
Then everybody's going to say also.
Right, but if I just hold it together, there's lack of permanence too. Like I'm holding
yes.
it for a second.
No, that's true. That's the point. Ramosha is lenient regarding the parochas because there is no chibur. Because there is no joining going on. Ramosha is a fan of the idea that you do need it to be joined together. And again, that's something we're not going to see
not
yet.
Not the Hebrew part, but just whether or not you think that's permanent. So on the torn page, if you're just holding it together like for 30 seconds, that's not permanent. Rabrivia's case.
Yeah.
There's no permanence there. It's like not having permanent ink.
Yeah. So what are you
reason,
asking?
That's another reason to be makeup.
So when we get to Kayama, we can talk about that more because we're not there yet.
No, I know, but I think one of that also applied by the torn page. If it's just,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So again, application number one is aligning two parts of a torn page that you can read the words. And the Rama would seem to be okay unless you did it with intent specifically to read the letters. That's when we seem to have a problem. Rav Moshe is unclear because he prohibits where it's intentional for the sake of reading it, if the partial letters really weren't legible, but as the Orach HaShabbos points out, he's lenient regarding the parochas. I think the answer really, though, is actually that he's not doing it for the sake of reading. When you do it with your parochas, it's not done for the sake of reading. Maybe it's as simple as that. I'm not sure actually why this is a problem. I'd have to go back through all three tshuvas of Rav Moshe, but I'm not sure that this is an issue at all. Another common application of this, which we'll talk about more when we talk about food, is breaking a cake that has letters on it. Right? Is that mochik when you cut into the letter itself? So again, according to the Rama, this should be fine. Because all you're doing is you're distancing parts of letters from each other. The Rama, as read by, as his read of the Gemara. The problem is that there's a Mordechai who quotes the Maharam Rutenberg, who says that specifically breaking a cake with letters on it is mochik. He actually says that explicitly. So the Rama gives an answer in Chavdal, and I'll say it outside in the interest of time. The Rama's answer is that the Maharam's case is eating the cake. And therefore you destroy the parts of the letters altogether. It's not that you separated the letters, it's that you demolish the letters. That's the Rama's answer. The Taz gives a different answer.
That's better or worse?
That makes it worse.
Fear.
Yeah. It's mochik. It's mochik. It's mochik. This is not, there's no bona in letters. It's mochik. Don't get started on bona. The Taz gives a different answer. The Taz says the difference is, and I brought the Taz for you in Chav Hei, the Taz says it's a different answer that the pieces were part of a single physical item beforehand. It isn't only that they were near each other, but they were part of the cake. And breaking it, therefore, is more significant than merely distancing letters. It's not like I wrote one letter in Tzipori and I wrote one letter in Tiberio on different materials and I bring them together or take them apart where they're on separate things. If they're part of a physical item, the Taz says, that's a different story. Major nafkamina between the Taz and the Rama here is, what if I tear open a package and I cut the letters in doing so? According to the Rama, I'm fine. I separate parts of letters, I bring them back. And that's okay. As long as I don't destroy the parts of the letters, I'm fine. Whereas within the position of the Taz, I split a single physical item. Definitely not fine. You follow? So again, to make sure that we're being clear on this, this question that we're asking here of, does writing include an act of moving parts of letters close to each other? It seems that the poskim believe that when it comes to moving particles together to form a letter, you have a problem. And even if they're not bound together in a frame, it seems to be a problem. We still have to talk about Zavashin and Miskayek. That's mm-hmm. to come next week. The second issue is forming letters from identifiable parts of letters, where the Rama says that's not a problem. If all you're doing is joining them together, separating them apart, but they're identifiable parts of letters, I am good with that idea. The Avnei Nezer, the Ma'amar Mordechai, are definitely not good with that idea. And the applications of it are aligning two parts of a torn page in order to read the words. If you're doing it in order to read the words, then everybody thinks it's a problem. If I'm just doing it, if I'm just aligning them, then the Rambam would not have a problem with that. The Ma'amar Mordechai would have a problem with it. And Rav Moshe's position is it's really not a problem. Again, assuming you're not doing it for the sake of reading. Breaking a cake with letters on it, we say, is usur. If you're splitting within the letters, we didn't talk about splitting between the letters yet. Splitting the letters themselves. The Rama says the reason why it's a problem is because you're destroying the letters. I don't have a problem with splitting the letters in half. I'm good with that. The problem is you're destroying the letters because you're going to eat them. Now, eating is not called a way of erasing. We have to talk about that when we talk about food and letters. We're not there yet. The Taz, though, says it's because they were part of a single physical item, and therefore there is indeed a problem. I started 3 minutes late. I'm ending 3 minutes late, so I apologize on both counts. We still have one bit to finish within this about forming words by moving letters near each other, and then we have to get to defining what text is. What constitutes a letter, other languages, punctuation marks, all sorts of fun. Two letters requirements, and durable text, non-durable text. So that will come up, God willing, in Shir on Monday at 11:30. And again, for those who can't make it, I'm going to send out the link, Lina, there afterwards. Thank you very much. Have a great Shabbos.